Thanks to Jason to put that together. Hey, we had a great time. It was a lot, not just this Friday, but Friday before. There was over 200 people that were at the Christmas tree lighting and the Hubbard Fire Station. So a great time. Thanks for everybody who helped bring cookies, decorating, taking down, all that good stuff. And to Santa, who will remain anonymous, but appreciate to him. Shout out to Santa. Turn to John chapter 10. We're going to be there in a minute. John chapter 10, if you got a Bible on your phone, you brought your paper Bible. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning and Lord, the time to worship. And we look forward to continuing to hear from you during the message as well as some more music and prayer. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to each heart as only you can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, there was a Native American and his friend who were downtown New York City at Times Square. You've probably all seen that, right? You know, on New Year's Eve. But it was during the lunch hour, just a normal day filled with people. You know, horns are honking, sirens are wailing, people walking and talking, all kinds of noise going on. And all of a sudden, as they're down there, the Native American said to his friend, shh, wait, I hear a cricket. His friend said, you're crazy. There's no crickets down here. He said, no, listen, I hear a cricket. He said, no, there's no way. That's crazy. I don't hear anything. Well, the Native American listened carefully, and he walked over. There was a planter there with a little bush on it. And he went and he looked in there, and sure enough, there was a cricket chirping. His friend was amazed. He said, that's incredible. You must have superhuman hearing. I would never hear that. And he said, no, not really. It's kind of probably just what you're listening for. Let me show you. And so he took out some coins from his pocket, the Native American did it. And he stood there and he dropped them on the ground. And they clanged. And all of a sudden, they kind of looked around. And within 20 feet around them, every single person turned and looked to see if it was their money or maybe money they could have. And Native Americans, see what I mean? It all depends on what you're listening for. What's important to you? What are you and I listening for? What are we listening for? You know, in this series, some of you maybe are new this morning. We're going through this series of sharing the truth that I believe that we can hear God. Now, not audibly, most of us, probably 99% of us, haven't heard God audibly, but we can still hear God. The question is, how do we recognize His voice? Question for you is, do you recognize His voice when He speaks to you? Like the Native American, if we're in tune with God, if we're able to listen for God, I believe that we can hear Him. And we've talked about different ways that we hear God. And we're going to kind of share and review a little bit of that this morning, as well as kind of look at how can we recognize God's voice? Because I believe that God speaks and that we can hear Him. When a word, when a thought comes to us, whether through others or through the still small voice of God, like we talked about, or through the written whispers of God's word, or even through circumstances, how do we know if that word is from God or if it's just from us? You know, it's interesting. We can't hear God through a text message, right? I've never received a text message from God. You know, it's not easy enough just of getting an email. It's not like that receiving one from Tim. Oh, yeah, I know Tim. I know exactly what he's saying. No. But we can still hear God. Is what I hear simply what I wish God is saying to me, what I hope He's saying, or can I actually know if He's talking to me? It's interesting. Even the Bible, think, well, what do you mean the Bible? I mean, the Bible's God's word. So you read it, then you hear what God's saying. Well, not necessarily all the time. You see, the truth is even the Bible can be taken out of context. Matter of fact, we see that in the Bible with Satan, right? When he was tempting Jesus, what did he do? He actually quoted Scripture out of context. Jesus says that if we listen, we can hear Him and know His voice in our lives. Why do I say that? Well, hopefully you've turned there. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're talking about kind of focusing a little bit on the shepherd, right? The shepherd candle. We had some Scripture that was read earlier. Look at John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, and then we'll skip over to verse 27. And Jesus says this, this is Jesus' words. He says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus, using here an illustration of sheep and the shepherd, says that those who follow Jesus as their shepherd will recognize his voice. They'll follow him and begin to recognize his voice. And as we said, the very first message of this series, this is back, I think, in November, a few weeks ago, we said the very first thing that we must have in order to begin to hear God in our lives is we must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to hear from God, we must know him. We must know him through his Son, Jesus. You see, you can't really hear someone, you can't hear their heart until you get to know them, right? You may think you know them, but until you stop and begin that relationship, you don't know what their passion is, what their desires are. It's the same with the relationship with God. You see, I believe God speaks and we can hear him. And that's what this series is all about, discerning God's voice. And as we listen, as we've talked about God's voice, sometimes God's voice is subjective, but it's never arbitrary. There are some steps, there are some things that we've been learning and we'll learn this morning and next week of how we can discern and hear God's voice in our lives, recognize it. To know if we're hearing God's voice or if we're just hearing that bad sushi that we ate the night before or the bad pizza, you know. Who's actually speaking? How do we know whether the voice is God's or if it's just our own? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We, those of us who are followers of Christ, begin to recognize God's voice. And many of you understand and you've experienced that. And how did you begin to experience it? Well, we begin to hear God's voice through experience, through listening and experiencing hearing God. Look back, the words we just read from Jesus, thinking back to Jesus' words about sheep. You know, a remarkable thing about sheep and domestic animals, we think about our pets, is that they begin to understand and recognize the voice of their owner, don't they? Now, not right at once. If you bring in, you know, a little puppy or something, you know, at first they don't have a clue who you are. But over time, they begin to recognize your voice, don't they? You call them and they come. Or you call them and they look at you and they know you're talking, but they don't come. That's how my dog is now in her old age. But they hear and they recognize, and it's interesting. It's very similar to us and God. The more time that we spend with God, the more experience we have in walking with God, the more we're able to hear and recognize his voice. It seems at first that we must be told, you know what, that's God. And sometimes that's why we have things like home groups. That's why we have things like the women's Bible study or men's groups. That's why you have brothers and sisters that are more mature than you, and you learn from them. What does it mean to hear God? Is this God speaking in my life? And you begin to listen. Begin to discern God's voice. You begin to understand God's still small voice that we talked about a few weeks ago. You begin to hear the written whispers, the written word from the Bible. You begin to hear from God through others, like we talked about last week. And the more and more your spirit is attuned, you begin to hear God and listen for his voice. But it's through experience. And it's through life that you begin to hear God without the assistance so much of others. It's important to have the assistance of others. But you begin to recognize God's voice. And we're going to see and look at this morning, well, how can I know if it's God's voice or if it's just my thoughts? As we consider recognizing God's voice as Christ followers, we must carefully test. We talked about, we must test, in a sense, the voice, the idea, the thing that comes into our heart. Is that mine or is that God's? Or is that somebody else's idea, you know? Scott comes to me and says, "Jim, I think God's calling you to do this." Is that God speaking through him or is that just a good idea of Scott's? It's interesting, as I've done reading throughout, I did some in the summer, and then obviously preparing for this series, reading a number of different people, there's three things that all of them tend to agree, and actually it's literally hundreds of years ago, these ideas of three reference points. They call them, actually it's called the three lights of discerning God's voice. And we want to look at those three lights, those three points of reference that we can consult to kind of help us determine what God wants us to do, to determine if it is, in fact, God's voice. And those three lights are the inner voice, or what we often call the still small voice, Scripture, and circumstances. And later on, I'll throw in a fourth one. But let's just, the three ones that people, many writers have talked about, and they've kind of turned them to three lights. They're factors that we consider in the process of listening and hearing God and of making responsible decisions based on what we think God is telling us. When these three things all begin to point and shine in the same direction, it's a good chance that they point to what God is telling us, what God is speaking to our heart, what God intends for us. So let's look at the first one. It's kind of the deepest one in many ways. And really, we talked a lot about it earlier, but we're going to go a little deeper today. And the first of the three lights is what many call the inner voice or impressions of the Holy Spirit. We've also called it the still small voice of God as He whispers to our heart, to our mind, to our spirit within us, of what He wants to tell us. Some people relate that, say, well, that's your conscience, that's your subconscious. Well, not necessarily. I think it goes even deeper than that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, as we talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a couple weeks ago. G. Campbell Morgan, a great theologian, says this about the inner light. He says, the doctrine of the inner light is not sufficiently taught to the individual believer who is, by the very fact of their relationship with Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So when we receive Christ, it says the Holy Spirit of God comes into us. There is granted the direct impression of the Spirit of God on the spirit of man. The Spirit of God imparting the knowledge of His will in matters of the smallest and the greatest importance. And he says this is to be sought after and waited for. He's describing how the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. That still small voice that God speaks to us, that we hear and we talked about. Dallas Willard, he says this about the still small voice. He says the still small voice, the inner voice, is the preferred and most valuable form of individual communication for God's purposes. God usually uses the inner voice for those who walk in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul wrote about this, I believe. He prayed, actually, this for the church in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 19. It's on the screen. Look at it with me. Ephesians 1. Paul wrote this. It was a prayer. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, interesting phrase, the eyes of your heart, your spirit, your soul, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believed. Paul says, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, that He will come and He will enlighten you, show you God's way. Not only did Paul pray it, Paul also experienced it. He experienced it many times. But one in particular, look at how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Acts 16, 6 and 7. It says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, would not allow them to. Interesting. Paul heard the inner voice of the Holy Spirit telling him, don't go here. Go here. It wasn't an audible voice. It was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, an impression of the Holy Spirit saying, I do not want you to go to a particular area. It doesn't tell us specifically how or why the Holy Spirit did that. It didn't give us a lot of details. But it's interesting. Paul heard the Spirit's direction. It may have been from some of the circumstances. There probably were some circumstances, what we might call open doors, closed doors, that Paul said, okay, this seems to be the Holy Spirit saying, don't do, go here. He also consulted with other companions. He didn't just make the decision on his own. He had others there with him who helped him make that decision. Is this the Spirit speaking to me? You know, a question that's worth addressing is how can we distinguish the voice of God, the still small voice, from the voice of our conscience or our subconscious? Because sometimes you all have that, right? Where you're kind of talking to yourself. You ever do that? You're not crazy if you do that. It's actually normal. You kind of have this conversation. He said, what's the difference between kind of hearing that voice versus the Spirit of God? And sometimes it's hard to discern. But pastor and theologian E. Stanley Jones, he says this. Interesting thought. He says, perhaps the rough distinction is this. The voice of the subconscious argues with you. You ever done that? Argue with yourself? Tries to convince you. But the inner voice of God does not argue, does not try to convince you. It just speaks. And it is self-authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God within it. How do we hear the inner voice of God as the voice of God? How do we know? Well, actually, that's what next week's sermon is all about. We're going to dive into that. But I want to just give you a taste of it, give you something to think about even between now and then. And it's a simple verse. Many of you maybe even know it by heart. It's from Psalm 46:10. Says it's this real simple. Be still. Anybody know what's rest? A lot of you know it. Be still and know that I am God. To hear the still small voice of God, we must reduce the speed and the noise of our life. We have to put down our to-do lists that we have. Those are good. I have them. Mine's long. But we have to put those aside at times and regularly put those things aside, all the busyness of life, and meet with God. Listen for God. We must lower the noise in order to listen for God to speak. Because as we looked with Elijah, sometimes God doesn't speak in the big voice like a Moses booming, you know. He speaks quietly, and he waits for us to quiet ourselves. Pastor Bill Hybels, in his book Whispers, talking about this whole idea of hearing God, he shares this. He says, for many years, I've been fascinated by the specifics surrounding where people tend to quiet themselves in the course of their day. It's different for everybody. Some have a favorite chair in their living room. Some head to the office an hour early and close the door to meet with God. Some journal and pray on the commuter train on their way to work. Some venture into the neighborhood coffee shop and hole away at a corner table. The time and the place tends to vary. But for all these people, the practice is absolute. And what happens as a result of their consistency is that God consistently speaks to them. You know, I found this true for me. For me, my place, my quiet place that I try to regularly have is in my office, on my couch in the morning. For you, it might be somewhere different. But what each of these has in common is that they begin to listen and recognize the voice of God, the inner voice, as they are still, as they deepen their relationship with Jesus, as they listen to what God has to say from His Word, from others, from the Holy Spirit speaking to our lives. See, there's good news, is that God loves you. He wants to communicate with each one of us. And many of you, quite honestly, I would say 100% of you have heard God's voice. Why do I say that? Well, one reason is because you wouldn't be here today if God hadn't spoke to you. I believe that. That you wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't somehow spoke to your heart, to your soul, to actually be here. Now, He may have used somebody else to invite you. That's how God works. You know, it's interesting. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak whispers of encouragement, of direction, of wisdom, and yes, sometimes of warning, if we simply carve out time to listen to hear. And we're going to focus a little more on that next week and say, how do we do that? What does that look like? Why does God want us to do that? But God tends to speak to people who actually want to hear Him. It's kind of like when we relate to each other. If we talk and no one wants to listen to us, then we kind of, well, some of you don't, but most of us say, you know, I guess I'm going to stop talking. But That's the first of the three lights to help us recognize God's voice. But there's two others that help confirm. Help confirm if, is that really truly God's voice? The second light is Scripture. You see, no word that we get from God is going to contradict the Word of God. Okay? Scripture. We have to talk about, as we listen to God, is what He's saying line up? What we hear in our spirit, is it line up with what God says in His Word? Because the truth is, anyone can say, well, God told me this. God said to me that I need to do this. Anybody could say that. But anytime anybody says that, it must line up with God's Word, with the Bible. God will never tell us, God's voice will never tell us to engage in any activity, any relationship that contradicts His Word, that's inconsistent with the Bible. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We've used this passage before. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for our teaching us, for our rebuking, for correcting us, and training us in righteousness to do what is right, so that the man of God, the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then Hebrews 4:12 says about the Word of God, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges even our thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, knowing God's Word will help us to know if that voice is God's or if it's His, if it's somebody else's. Frederick B. Meyer said this, the Word of God is the wire along which the voice of God will certainly come if the heart is not rushed and if their attention is fixed. Interesting, talking about that. Be still and know I'm God. You know, for me, more of God speaking to me has come through the conjunction, through the meeting of God's Word. When I read, when I study, when I teach God's Word, that's where I hear God the most. God uses His Scripture to confirm His voice in our lives. If we want a confirmation of the inner voice of God, we must always look at that second light of Scripture. And it needs to be a vital part of our lives. If you wonder why you're not hearing God, why, well, I don't even understand what you're talking about, Pastor Jim. A big part is probably because you're not. First of all, you may not have a relationship with Jesus. That's number one. But secondly is you're not in His Word. You don't know what He's saying. And to know if that voice is His or just your own. But we have one other of the three lights, the three main lights. And this one must submit. It is submissive. It's a submissive light. It must submit to the first two, the inner voice and Scripture. But it is important all the same, and that is circumstances. Circumstances. Again, Frederick B. Meyer says this, the circumstances of our daily life are to us an infallible indication of God's will when they concur with the inward promptings of the Spirit and with the Word of God. See, circumstances can't be trusted simply on their own. I know a lot of people who look and say, oh, this door's open. I should just run through it. Or this door's closed. I guess God doesn't want me to do that. But how do you know who opened or closed that door? Could have been God. Could be Satan. It could be you or someone else. Scripture and the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit must be brought into consideration to determine if it's actually an open door or a closed door in our lives. And we need to have what some have called an intellectual alertness to the circumstances of our life and not just be blind just because something happens. Well, that's God or that's not God. Okay? Circumstances are important, but they don't lead our life. It's the third submissive light. But He does use circumstances to help us recognize His voice in our life, to see if He's leading us in a particular area. And when you put those three lights together, when you put them together, all shining together, you get a clear and brighter view of what God might be saying to you and your particular situation that you're in. But I want to mention one other one. I think it's important. It's not part of the traditional three lights, but I think it's one that is certainly important. We talked about it actually last week. We touched on the idea that God uses others to speak into our lives, right? He uses other people. He uses even books. He uses songs and so on. But the fourth light I would suggest is that we are to take the light of others that we trust. And I kind of preface that with others that we trust who, as we talked about last week, have a strong relationship with the Lord and who know us. What do people who trust us think about that idea that we have? When you think that God has spoken to you, but you're not sure, and maybe you've even used those first three lights, and you're still not sure, it is important to go to those who you trust and say, what do you think? Would you pray with me? Listen to Proverbs 15, 21 and 22. It says, folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. It's always a good idea to ask others, do you think this is wise? Do you think this is God speaking to me, or is this just me? And have a multitude of people that can speak into your life, that can pray with you. That when you ask that, that you listen openly and intently to what they might have to say, because God can use them. He can use them in one way of helping you not make some stupid decision that you're going to regret. All of us have done that. Oh, God's telling me to do this. And we go through it and we go, whoa, why that didn't work out like I thought? And everybody around is like, yeah, duh. If you'd asked us, we would have told you, but we didn't ask. Or it could be the opposite of where you talk to others and you're really hesitant and they say, no, this that is God. And it challenges, encourages you to take a step of faith that you wouldn't have necessarily taken on your own. So it can serve you in both ways. You know, I've had this many times in my life where I've used these four lights that have helped me to discern, to recognize God's voice, whether it was him or whether it wasn't. It helped me to realize, no, that maybe that isn't God, or yes, that is. Sometimes recognizing God's voice is something that just kind of comes quickly. And these three lights can be done really quickly. It can just happen during the regular activities of life. And this, I believe, happened to me just a few weeks ago. Actually, last Friday during the Christmas tree light, right before it. Mel and I decided to go out for dinner real quick, just to grab a bite at Carl's Jr. in Woodburn. And as we got out of the car, I was walking there, and I noticed a young man in his 20s who was literally digging through the garbage looking for food. And my natural response, probably maybe too many times out of 100, I would just walk past him, you know, and just go and get my food, because that's what I was there to do. I was in a hurry. But at that moment, I heard the voice of God in my spirit saying, buy this man a meal. That's kind of all that I heard. Simple, buy him a meal. So I walked up to him and I said, are you hungry? Would you like me to, can I buy you a dinner? And so I did. And I had a chance to talk to him as we waited in line and was able to share with him just briefly about Love Inc. there in Woodburn and about Goodwill and some things that maybe could help him. So the question is, as I reflect on that, did I hear God's voice? Was that God's voice? I very quickly, and I didn't even think about it when I did it. When we do this, we don't often think, okay, first light, second light, third light, you know. It just happens. But very quickly, you know, I kind of just discerned, okay, is this God's voice? The first was the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Buy him a meal. Okay, that's not my natural response, unfortunately. Usually my first response is, I'm busy. You know, it's too bad he's in that situation. But I heard the inner voice spoke to my heart. And then a thought came to my mind. And a question we should ask is it biblical? Does the Bible support what I'm going to do? Well, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that kind of went through my mind. I didn't quote it to myself, but just kind of really quickly, I said, okay, this is right. Jesus said to do this. And then the circumstances. Well, the circumstances certainly lined up. There was a person that was needy there. I had money to provide that. And there was an opportunity right from me, right in front of me there. And the fourth light wasn't even needed, although I did get it a little bit. My wife kind of gave me an affirmation. She kind of nodded her head, you know. Sometimes it's easy to know God's voice. I mean, something like that, that's a pretty easy one in many ways. But you know what? Sometimes there's more difficult ones, aren't there? They're not always easy. Let me share one last one of one that was quite harder, and I wasn't sure what God's voice was saying. It was actually 10 years ago when we were trying to decide and praying if God wanted us to start a church in the North Marion area. Mel and I had been praying about it for a year and trying to discern, is this God's will? And so we sense God's inner voice. We sense the Spirit speaking to us. Yes, I think this is I want you to go and start a church. Okay, well, that's our thought. Okay, well, is it scriptural? And you know, is what we're doing, is that something that God wants? And our heart was certainly to follow Acts 1:8, to be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the other parts of the earth, and we know that North Marion is the utter parts, so we came. I mean, we lived here, right? And Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. And that was our heart, to help people know Jesus. So that certainly lined up. That was a no-brainer. But then circumstances, well, circumstances seemed to line up too, because Bethany Church was still desiring to plant other churches. That was a heart of theirs. And there were people from our church, some of you who lived in the area, said, yeah, I think we would go and help you start. So those three lined up, but we still weren't sure. Matter of fact, there was some people said, well, I'm not sure if this is really what God's calling you to do or not. And some of those people were outside of our sphere. They didn't really know us well. But so we said, you know what? We need to really seek God, and we need to ask those who know us. So the fourth light was very, very important to us. And we sought others that we trust. And we asked them to pray. And they questioned us. And they listened to us. And they listened to our plans. And we went before our elders who knew me very well, and asked them to discern, is this God's will? And as we did all this, we had an overwhelming confirmation, every single person that affirmed God's voice, that yes, we feel this is what God's calling you to do. You know, it's interesting looking back now. Looking back, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that we heard God's voice. Over the past 10 years, God has used North Marion Fellowship. It's interesting. We just had our baptisms a couple weeks ago. We had four people that were baptized. It was awesome. And I went and looked back at our records. I keep records of baptisms. And something that totally shocked me is in the last 10 years as a church, we've baptized 58 children, youth, and adults in 10 years. It's pretty awesome. And we've seen other people who have come to Christ, and we've touched hundreds of people. And some of them are still here. Some have gone to other churches. Some have moved to other states and other places. A lot of our kids, about 30 or 40 of our kids grew up and are married and having kids and live in other parts. And they've taken the gospel to others. All because God spoke to the heart of many of you and of Mel and I, and we recognized God's voice, and we listened, and we said, and discerned, and said, is this God's voice? Sometimes it's a big thing, like starting a church, or a big thing for some of you, like of moving. Where should I move? Or what kind of job should I take? But as many times, it's just the small things of life, everyday things of listening to God's voice. Should I buy a meal for someone? Should I invite someone to church this Christmas? Who should I invite? Or should I choose to forgive someone who's hurt me? Should I spend time with God? God speaks and we can hear. What did Jesus say? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My prayer for each of us is that we recognize God's voice in our lives more and more, that we'd be able to discern as we use those lights, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, the inner voice, as we look at Scripture and make sure we're in God's Word and listen to His Word there, as we look at the circumstances around us, and is that God opening a door? Is that what He's doing? Is He closing something? And then, very importantly, looking to others, others that we trust to help us discern God's voice in our lives. As we look and as we finish this series next week, may we hear God. May you put yourself in a place to hear God and listen and follow. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we are your sheep and you are our shepherd. And may we more and more be able to discern your voice. And as it said, that we would recognize voices that are not yours and say, I'm not following that. I'm not doing that, even though maybe a lot of other people are. I'm not going to follow that voice. I'm following you, Jesus. Help us to shine those lights to be able to see the direction you want us to go. Lord, as we continue to worship, may our hearts just explode with joy that you speak to us. May we worship you for who you are during this time. In Christ's name, amen.